Now, Evangelist Winston Tye.
Thank you. The theme of this lesson is entitled, The Tragedy of Sin. The first observation to be made is that we are the victims of the deceitfulness of sin. The Word of God at Genesis 3:9. And Jehovah God called unto the man, and said unto him, Where art thou? Now I can assure you that God was not asking the question for information. There is nothing hid from him, and he is not far from each one of us. God wanted the man to answer the question for himself. Man was placed in the Garden of Eden. Everything growing in that garden was pleasant to the sight and good for food. But the man was not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In the day he ate of it, he would die. Man, made in the image of God, is a creature of choice. Here we have suspended the issues of life and death. Man chose to sin. The tempter was successful in convincing the woman that in eating the fruit of the forbidden tree, she would not die. Being deceived, she was convinced their eyes would be opened and they would become as gods. So, the woman took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Consider now the consequences of sin. Adam and Eve were both created holy and happy, but they fell by disobedience. They were led to transgress, disobey God, by the seducing power of a serpent. It was the purpose of Satan to weaken faith in the Word of God. Adam and Eve were guilty before God, and being afraid, they hid themselves amid the trees of the garden. Sin separates man from God. The man and woman heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They were hiding from the presence of God. God said, Where art thou? The man answered, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. The answer that Adam gave is an acknowledgement of disobedience. We see the consequences of Adam's sin at this day. The Apostle Paul, in his thesis on the resurrection of the dead, said, For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. The woman was deceived as to the guilt of sin. She ignored altogether the right or the wrong in taking the forbidden fruit. She was of the persuasion that there was no reason why she should not do so. Sin always suppresses the ultimate consequences. The woman was deceived as to the advantages received. She saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. We too are drawn to our evil action by the deceit, that it will be a benefit and a help. But nothing won by sin is worth the price that is paid for it. The Apostle Paul said that he was beguiled or deceived by sin, Romans 7:11. Sin will deceive a man into believing that sin is not sin. Jesus said, The hour cometh that whosoever killeth you shall think that he offereth service unto God. John 6:2. The Samaritan woman was so deceived that she believed that Mount Gerizim was the right place of worship and Jerusalem was the wrong place to worship. According to the law of Moses, Jerusalem was the right place. In addition, I would like to make the observation that a man's sin will find him out. Moses said, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against Jehovah, and be sure your sin will find you out." Numbers 32:23. This statement from Moses is misapplied and often used to emphasize the difficulty of concealing sin. The statement, "Be sure your sin will find you out," means that sin will not go unpunished. One's sins will find him out in the reproach of conscience. Ephesians 4:18-19. The Apostle Paul said, "Herein I also exercise myself, to have a conscience void of offense toward God and men always." Acts 24:16. What is the conscience? In the New Testament, the conscience is regarded as the power in man to deal with right and wrong. Conscience has to do with moral character. Therefore, it is vital to Christian life. It is the function of conscience to discern good and evil. It discriminates moral qualities. It will keep a record of the good and bad and impose the obligation to do right. Conscience must be educated. It must be enlightened by facts. The Word of God gives the instruction that enables the conscience to make correct distinctions between good and evil. The Apostle speaks of some branded in their own conscience, as with a hot iron, 1 Timothy 4:2. Some of the Gentiles hardened their hearts and were past feeling, Ephesians 4:19. It is sad when a man sins against God and does not feel the reproach of conscience. The eyes of Adam and Eve were open to their nakedness and to their shame. Here we see the first reproach of conscience. Judas betrayed the Lord. When he saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented himself. This means that he regretted what he had done. Judas said, "I have sinned in that I betrayed innocent blood." There was distress, like gnawing pain, excited by a sense of guilt. Then he went away and hanged himself. Judas had sinned, and it was his sin that found him out in his conscience. One's sins will find him out in death. God said, "In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Genesis 2:17. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They became spiritually separated from God when they sinned. Think of those who not only live in sin, but die in sin. Those who die in sin are eternally lost. Death means different things to different people. For the righteous, it is gain. Philippians 1:21. And it is very far better. Philippians 1:23. For the wicked, it is torments. Luke 16:23. And it is eternal punishment. Matthew 25:46. Old Balaam said, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." Numbers 23:10. But it is impossible for one to die the death of the righteous who has not lived the life of the righteous, nor can his reward be that of the righteous if he has not lived the life of the righteous. Jesus said, "Ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. John 8:21. The most shocking, dreadful thing a man can do is to live and die in sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. Your sin will not go unpunished. Finally, we make the observation that we may be saved from the effects and consequences of our own personal transgressions. The gospel of Christ is the only and all-sufficient remedy for the salvation of sinners, Romans 1:16. When faced by the deeper necessities of life, man is forced to cry, "What must I do to be saved?" Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned," Mark 16:16. It is not possible for all of us to view this statement with indifference. Jesus is the Savior, and He saves through faith and obedience. John declared, "The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." This passage gives expression to one of the most persistent of our human needs, the desire to live forever. The brevity of the present life conflicts with the present desire for something permanent. Obey the gospel and live forever. God bless you, my friend.